Hello, and welcome to the Fishbowl. If you're joining us for the first time, my name is Melanie.
And I'm Karina.
And we are two best friends.
And mental health professionals.
Aiming to demystify mental health.
And fighting to end stigma.
We hope you enjoy. Thanks for listening. Leave us your feedback. All right. Welcome back to the Fishbowl. My name is Melanie.
Hi, and I'm Karina.
And we are working together to demystify mental health and...
and stigma.
All right. So, we know that it's been a while since we've last spoken, and we felt like now is a good time. So, welcome back. Sorry it took us so long. But hopefully we can get better with staying on track.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah. And
this is really important, and this is our way to, this is fighting the good fight, and we can use this platform to end stigma. And so that is what we are going to intentionally do.
Yes. So if you hear some background noise, it's because we just made an executive decision to just start right now. And we have been planning a topic, and here we are. We had to take a break during our planning session because, you know, our stomachs are growling. So, anywho, we are here.
Yes.
And despite the background noise, we have lots of good information for you today. So, before we get started, Karina wanted to assure that we had a small disclaimer for you.
Yeah, so disclaimer is, we are counselors. We are not your counselors. So this is an opportunity that if you do feel like you need counseling and something that we say resonates with you, find a counselor.
Yes.
We are not your counselor.
Although we can refer you to some really good ones. So if you do need help finding one, please feel free to email us at demystifyingmentalhealth@gmail.com. And we will be glad to offer you referrals. So on that note, we're going to go ahead and get started with our topic for this evening, which is transgenerational trauma, a.k.a. intergenerational trauma, generational trauma.
I can't remember how we, like, what would the... Anyway, the focus... I can't remember how we said it, but the focus is on generational trauma, and there's a huge windstorm, so...
Yeah, we're in the car, by the way. But that's okay. That's okay. It's gonna be good. So, if you hear a little shout, it's because the hurricane has hit.
Or a tornado.
Or something.
We're in Texas.
A typhoon, even.
It's a Texas tornado.
Oh, my goodness. It's a windstorm, y'all. It's a windstorm.
Okay, generational trauma.
Yes, so.
That's the focus. And we're going to talk about this very in broad terms, okay?
Yes.
It's real hard to kind of narrow it down to a specific, like, type of trauma or generational trauma. So I just, disclaimer again, we're going to talk about this in a very
general
way.
Yeah.
And your therapist can help break it down for you.
Yeah. So just to give, like, a general overview of what that means, generational trauma can be thought of as, like, historical trauma. Mm-hmm. It can be thought of, like, as trauma that is passed down from, you know, parent to child and so forth. So, you know, if you yourself have experienced any type of traumatic event and then you subsequently have children, you can experience or project your trauma onto your children, or just the way that you cope with your trauma can also be a traumatic experience for your child. So, if you're not handling it well, of course.
I like to think about, when you say that, I think about it. We, as parents, you are your child's first educator. Mm-hmm. They are going to do what is modeled for them through your behavior and statements. Mm-hmm. So always, or try to take account for that. Like, you know, some consideration. That. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, most definitely. Because here's the thing, like, your child may never experience the same traumatic event that you have, mm-hmm. but because you have learned to adapt and cope with it in a way that impacts you, it impacts how you parent your child, and ultimately, if you, and not to call anyone out or anything, but if you are the type of parent who has some really unhealthy coping strategies, you can, you know, consequently traumatize your child mm-hmm. with your, you know, your neglectful supervision, or with just like your lack of attachment, or however that tends to project to from you based on, you know, what traits you've developed over time. So it's very important to be mindful of it.
Yeah, definitely.
And trauma doesn't just impact like how you relate to one another. Ultimately, it impacts your overall health and well-being. Some of you have heard of the ACEs study. I know we've talked about it in the past, mm-hmm. but the ACEs survey is basically a survey about traumatic experiences. And the research has demonstrated that if you answer yes to, I think it's like two or more yes. of those questions, there are only 10, by the way. So if you answer yes to two or more of these questions, then you are like so many times more likely to experience like some major health issues like heart problems, diabetes, you know, any type of substance use. Mm-hmm. And
yeah, the risks go up mm-hmm. Depending on how you answer that questionnaire. The risk factors go up, so something to be mindful of. It puts you at, like, I don't want to say risk, maybe not risk category is not the right word, but
no, it just increases your chances yes, of experiencing something correct. Like that. So in general, it's important to not only be mindful of what you've been through, but also how that comes across in your day-to-day life. Right? Because if you're not taking care of yourself, if you're not doing things to process your trauma or to really just like overcome it rather than avoid it, it's going to bleed out into other areas of your life.
You know, and it's hard to look at, right? It is hard to face. It's hard to talk about. Mm-hmm. A lot of times the people that I've worked with, myself included, we want to avoid it. We want to avoid feeling it, reliving it, or thinking it. And so that is difficult when you're saying, oh, well, you know, we've got to first be aware of what we're doing. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Be aware of what we're doing so we know what to change or what not change. Let's say what to
heal
come
from.
To terms with, yeah. What to heal from.
Well, for sure. Because, I mean, at the end of the day, like, avoidance is the worst thing you can do for anything.
For real.
'Cause
but it's such a safety net.
It is.
It is a like...
And many of us do it. Many of us do it.
Serves a purpose during the time when we maybe experienced that trauma. It served a purpose, right?
Yeah.
It kept you alive. It kept you safe.
It kept
you sane.
Yeah, it was a defense mechanism. But
it just no longer serves you in adulthood.
Yes, indeed. And the thing is like avoiding things is like trying to hide or sweep things under a rug. At some point, that lump under the rug is going to be noticeable, or you just might trip and fall and bust your face. Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, there's no way around it. Like, avoidance is going to lead to catastrophe at some point. So this is why it's so important to talk about some of these things. This is why
with your therapist.
Yes.
I mean, you can talk to your friend if you feel safe and you trust them.
Yes.
But really something good to process
with your therapist, for sure. And there are different types of therapy for trauma, right? So we have cognitive processing therapy, mm-hmm. cognitive behavioral therapy. Mm-hmm. There's EMDR, which is like some kind of movement and desensitization. Rapid eye movement. There you go. What else is there? I forgot.
You know, I don't know. I'm most familiar with CPT, mm-hmm. cognitive processing.
Dialectical behavior therapy can also help with trauma and emotional regulation, depending on, you know, what other symptoms you might present with. Mm-hmm. So really it's important to find a therapist that can not only help you process it, but help you process it in a way that's based on evidence.
Right. Well, and like for the, like, so when you think about processing, it's scary, right? Because you, in your mind, you're like, oh, I don't want to go talk to my therapist and relive all of this. You know, I don't want to do that. Mm-hmm. So we avoid it. We avoid doing it. But I will tell you, like, in one of the CPT, there's, like, you can write your impact statement or your impact story, but it's not something that you're going to have to go over and over and over and repeat yourself,
yeah.
right, until you, like, have said it so many times. Mm-hmm. It's really a therapy that really focuses on, like, your stuck points, mm-hmm. where you're stuck at, and helping you to identify those stuck points so that you will in turn learn to move past them. Mm-hmm. So it's not erasing this traumatic experience that you've been through, but it's helping you to acknowledge it and move past it.
For sure.
In a more rational way.
Yeah, in a healthier way. Because ultimately, like, we can't change the past.
No.
But you have to recognize how the past impacts you.
God, but you can find peace, right? I think about, like, my own trauma, and I can remember, like, a specific thing that always hurt me. Anybody said anything, it would just hurt me.
Mm-hmm.
And I would avoid or cry or, like, shelter myself. And I felt so much shame.
Yes.
Right? I felt so much shame,
mm-hmm.
until, like, I think it was you. You were like, Karina, like, you can heal and move past this. Like, you can learn to, like, live with these things. I don't remember your words, but it was along those lines. And little by little, like, I remember just taking ownership of it,
mm-hmm.
and accepting that it is a part of me. It's a piece of me that I don't have to be ashamed of.
Mm-hmm.
It is something that really fueled me to be here today, to do what I do today,
mm-hmm.
but also I'm able to help people.
Oh, yeah.
Right? Because for sure. I do have some lived experience.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. At the end of the day, like, whatever happens to you, mm-hmm. it may not be something that you had complete control over.
Oh, yeah.
Right? But what you do have control over is how you respond to the situation, mm-hmm. and how you choose to allow it to affect you.
Yeah.
And so ultimately, like, if you choose to not let it bother you and to move past it, then you can in turn break the cycle of generational trauma.
Is not moving past it.
Avoiding I is want to just be clear. Like, avoidance, you know, hiding it for now.
Yeah, avoidance is an unhealthy coping mechanism or defense mechanism. And so that is not moving past it. That's just completely avoiding it.
For sure.
It is something that you have to look at. Mm-hmm. It is, and find some peace. Right in it, right in that destruction or in those moments of destruction.
Oh, for sure. And I think, you know, that's when people ask, like, how do you stop it? Like, how do you stop what's happened to me from being impactful to, you know, my children or my grandchildren and so on and so forth? It's really looking at how are you dealing with it? How are you working through what's happened to you, mm-hmm. so that those things that, you know, really kind of take seat in your soul don't ultimately, like, bleed out to your family, right?
Yeah, because it ruins relationships.
Mm-hmm.
You see it in addiction. You see it in mental health and untreated. But, God, like you were talking about, like, the lens. We see everything through that lens when, mm-hmm. we're unhealed.
Yes.
And it is so, and therapy helps you, like, kind of, like, clean those lenses.
Yeah.
And see things from a different perspective. Mm-hmm. Understand things from a different perspective.
For sure. For sure. I mean, even it starts with us, right? Like, mm-hmm. just thinking, like, in thinking about, like, my own traumatic experiences, like, I am so blessed and so fortunate that my child has never had to experience anything like that. Right. And I think ultimately,
that,
like,
makes me proud to think that too.
Heck, like, yeah. Wow. Heck yeah. So, but at the same time, I have to also be mindful of how I've processed it, like, prior to me actually being able to work through it, mm-hmm. right? And how that might impact her, mm-hmm. ultimately. And, like, really just having a conversation with her about it. And so, you know, I think that's the healthiest thing that we can do for the people that we love, in order for them not to have the same experiences, right? So being open and talking about these issues, talking about the reality that, you know, things happen, right? And some of this is genetic, unfortunately, mm-hmm. because when you go through any type of mental illness or any type of traumatic experiences, sometimes your brain chemistry changes, your gene makeup changes, and so that is ultimately passed down, biologically speaking. And so all of this affects who we are and who our families are.
Yeah.
And super, super intense all the time.
God, people are so connected, right? Yeah. That's what I, like, think of. Oh, people are so connected. Mm-hmm. But, no, not but.
You think just what?
I think that people are so connected and... Okay, let me gather my thoughts. Like, people are so connected and we want to just keep going. We're just doing and we're living life. Mm-hmm. It is okay to stop, mm-hmm. breathe, and really look at, what am I doing? Take a good hard look. Like, is what I'm doing in these moments helpful or unhelpful?
Yeah.
Because everything that we do is going to have some consequence on somebody else, especially if we have children.
Yep. Most definitely.
Sit your ego aside and really say, is this helpful or unhelpful to my family or to my kids? I think, you know, I have to look at myself,
mm-hmm. right?
And God, I don't like to do that. It is so, like...
It's hard when you yes. have to be reflective of your yeah. flaws and insecurities. Yeah. And for yeah, sure.
It is. It's hard. It feels embarrassing sometimes, you know, but I don't want to carry some of those same things that I grew up in with me, because they weren't helpful to me.
Mm-hmm. Oh, for sure. For sure. I think, you know, in just reflecting on some of the experiences I had myself, it's just like how I respond to certain situations, like things that you don't necessarily think about,
yes.
right? Like how you perceive interactions between people, mm-hmm. your relationship to people, like in your family or outside of your family, even the way you relate to your own children, right? Is just, all of it has like an immense impact on everything that we do. So
here's the one thing I'll tell you, like we said all of that and talked about trauma and the effects of trauma, mm-hmm. and how it bleeds out. But here's the things that help.
Yep.
What help? And I'm gonna talk from my own personal experience, right? The things that help are when I'm allowed to say whatever it is, like with my, I like to say my distorted thoughts, right? Because mm-hmm. sometimes they're just not the best. But if I get to say that out loud to someone that I trust, they can give me that, like, feedback. Like, no, you know, I didn't see it that way. Yeah. Or sometimes I feel like I'm feeling abandoned, or I'm feeling left out, yeah. left out, abandoned. Mm-hmm. Or sometimes I'll be angry and it's really just embarrassment. But, and that those all come from a place of from somewhere.
Yeah.
Right. But when I get to be myself and I have someone that I trust can say, hey, wait a minute, that's not what we meant, or that's not this, or give me that, like, kindness, a kind, like, reminder that this is a safe interaction or something. If I hope that makes sense. But
that
is helpful in helping me to heal and to grow from those things.
Mm-hmm. And I think, ultimately, like, I know, like, our friendship is very strong. And so I feel very secure in saying things to you and receiving messages from you. But, you know, not everybody is as fortunate. And so this is why we encourage people to seek out a counselor.
You're right.
Because at the end of the day, like, I love you to death, but there are just some things that I cannot process with you because I...
Oh, for sure.
I don't want you to carry that burden.
Right.
But I also, like, I don't want you to get offended. Like, especially if I say something that, you know, maybe has some sort of, like relation to you. Or, you know, or that you can kind of... I don't want you to parallel process. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Right? So I don't want you to have to take on that stress for me. And it's unhealthy for our friendship. So
agreed.
Yeah. Which is why you should never, never do counseling therapy with your friends.
Therapy is not, like they say, just talk to your friends. Therapy is not just talking to your friends.
Yes. Yes. You need an objective opinion. Someone who has no emotional ties to you.
Absolutely.
So.
Absolutely.
But yeah. It was, you know. I mean,
funny is that we're both talking from places of trauma, though.
Oh, yeah.
So, distorted thought. And then it's like, oh, wait a minute. Then we get back online. I like to say we get back online.
Yes.
Right? When our brains, right? Switch. When you're thinking from your trauma brain, and then you're back online to your regular, like processing.
Like your frontal lobes.
Yeah.
All your executive and then it's like, you know, level function is.
You know, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I didn't mean that. Those are the ways, we shared some personal experiences, but those are the ways that trauma shows up in people.
Oh, yeah.
And if we don't
see it,
if you don't see it and you're just avoiding it, it creates those unhealthy, you know, maybe your kids don't want to talk to you, maybe your family, maybe you don't have a lot of friends or supports, or maybe you struggle with some addiction, and those are opportunities to seek out someone to help you figure that out so that you can have healthy relationships, healthy coping skills, supports.
Yeah, because ultimately you learning how to deal and how to process and how to cope in a healthy way bleeds out in a positive way to the people around you.
Right.
You know, so I was teaching an exercise, not too long ago in a workshop, and you know, one of the discussions I had with the participants was like, you know, I'm going to do this all the time. Like, I really think that we need to kind of share these experiences. Mm-hmm. And I was like, yes, go home and share them with your family, because ultimately you are helping them indirectly by sharing that experience. Mm-hmm. Right. And they might remember that and take that information from you and apply it in their own lives. Mm-hmm. So you're spreading the love.
Right.
So.
That's modeling.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You're modeling.
I mean, if you want to get technical, yes. It's modeling behavior. But yes, so you're just showing people a better way. And ultimately, I think that's all any of us really want to do is learn.
Because people want to feel connected.
Yeah.
But we don't, some people don't know why they're not connected.
Yeah.
Right? But you've got to turn that little look in the mirror and take a good hard look at yourself.
Yes.
First, because it begins with you.
Most definitely. Most definitely.
So that was a very broad overview of like generational trauma and just trauma in general terms, layman terms.
Yeah.
But there's so many categories underneath when you're talking about trauma.
Oh, for sure. I mean, especially when you look at historical trauma, right? Like, you know, if you're a veteran or if you're in a marginalized or oppressed group, like those experiences really shape how you are as a person. They shape your way of life. They shape how you adapt and cope. And ultimately, they influence the people around you.
Correct.
So when we are mindful of these things, we can be more proactive.
Right.
But, you know, we also have to want to do that. To want to, like, to be more proactive, but also be, what did you say earlier? Accountable for our own stuff, right?
Yeah, there's going to be things that we're not going to be able to, like, change when you're talking about, like, what'd you say, historical traumas or, like, persons from a marginalized group, right? Those are things that you just, because you're not going to change the world, right? Mm-hmm. You may not do that. We would like to. Definitely would like to. But those are not things, like, how do you live in a world where these things have existed for so long,
mm-hmm.
right? And it's inevitable. We're going to experience them. It may be ongoing, mm-hmm. but there's things that we can do to help you, or a person can do to help themselves kind of find some ease through them, mm-hmm. right? So that it's not so much anger or resentment living in their bodies,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yeah. Changing your genetic structure.
Yeah,
for sure. Well, this has been a very interesting conversation, and I'm glad that we decided to record now and not later.
Agreed.
So, I hope that all of you who are listening have taken something from this experience.
Oh, yeah.
Please always share your feedback with us. If you follow us on our Facebook page, leave us a comment. If you wish, you can email us, and, you know, or you can message Karina or I, you know, directly, and, you know, we appreciate the feedback because it helps us to learn and grow, which in turn also helps us to help you more.
Correct.
In a healthier way.
Yes.
So, all right.
Thank you for listening.
Yes, thank you so much.
We'll be back next week.
Hopefully so.
We will be back.
We're going to be back next week.
We will be back next week.
Oh, snap. I hear a challenge.
I'm speaking that into existence.
All right, let's do it.
I am manifesting.
We are manifesting that we are going to be more intentional.
Oh, yeah.
Because we do love
this. We don't want to let the people down.
For sure.
Like Frank says, don't let the people down. You have a gift. Spread it on the earth. Educate. So we're not going to let Frank down.
No, we won't. And in all honesty, I think it feels better.
Yeah.
Right? It's something that we know we both love and enjoy.
It's a hobby.
And we haven't been partaking in that as part of our own self-care. Right?
I mean, we do self-care, guys. We just got, like, our manis and pedis.
Yeah.
And that's, like,
we just, you know, sometimes our self-care patterns shift around. But sometimes, well, remember, there's that wellness scale, remember?
Yes.
And so it's like you answer the questions, you rate yourself in the mm-hmm. different domains. Sometimes we have imbalance.
Right.
And for me, this was an imbalance. Like, I'm not doing enough of the things I love doing.
Agreed.
So.
Right.
I'm doing lots of other stuff.
This is one of my favorite, healthy coping skills,
mm-hmm.
self-care activity. It is.
Mm-hmm.
It's just being intentional about the time. So we will be intentional. We're speaking that into existence.
We are. And we will be back soon, mm-hmm. for sure. I'm not going to put a date on it because I can't make any promises.
I'm a flaky friend, guys. Okay? Just one self-disclosure. I am a flaky friend.
Oh, I still appreciate you even in your flakiness, ma'am. So I know at some
point. Fun Karina is not this Karina. So she changes it around.
It's okay. I know at some point we'll get it done. So, but hopefully not too far along. So
y'all have a good night.
Yes.
Thank you for listening.
Thank you so much. Take care and help us fight to end stigma.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Bye.